And so since you are having to read a lot, I was wondering if you sort of take a like different reading approaches depending on if it's a paper that you're reading more for background or I mean enjoyment is the right term, like reading for fun, but not quite that, but I think you kind of like the reading not because it's directly related to research, but because it's something that's important that you want to read and should read, versus the things you're reading because they are related to research or things that you might want to do research on in the future. I was wondering if you might feel that you have different reading styles when it comes to the two different like reasons you're reading a paper.
Absolutely. So if I'm writing a paper and I want to really develop the background related work section, when I go through and read those papers that are really related to the areas I'm working on, as interesting as those papers might be to me, because I have this goal of, building up the background section so that the readers of my own work have the appropriate information. It's not as enjoyable as if I'm like looking at a paper that looks to be starting a new field or something like that. And actually, it tends to be the papers most closely related to what I do are the ones that I kind of read. Sort of, I don't read those as leisurely, right? And so if something sparks my interest because I go to a talk and I was like, oh, I want to hear more about that, that's when I can take the time and really, as an outsider, digest something a little more slowly, allow myself to ponder the broader implications. But a lot of times when it's so closely related to my own work, I have limited time, and it's like, okay, I really want to know what these people have said instead of, oh, let me think about the broader implications.
And you work in a very, very interdisciplinary section of the academic world of I mean mathematics, physics, all social sciences. Everyone is involved in some way. Engineers are involved. And so I was wondering if you feel that the way that the people in the different disciplines use papers is might be different. I know that say in the computer science world, papers aren't nearly as big of a thing. For them, it's all about the conferences and the proceedings. And in mathematics, which is the area I'm most comfortable with, it's very publish or perish sort of world. And so I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to sort of in these different areas that you've dealt with, how they might deal with papers differently, just in how they're kind of perceived sort of way, as well as if you've seen any ways that they kind of differ in the way that they do citations, since that is the end that I'm mostly talking to you about.
That's interesting. So I've worked with a number of computer scientists, physicists, applied mathematicians, biologists, so really across different fields, and they're hugely different styles. So in computer science, yes, they tend to focus on conference proceedings rather than journals. But I tend to think of them as their conference proceeding article is like our journal article, but there are some differences that my computer scientist colleagues are much more last minute. So conference proceedings work on deadlines. So there's a deadline for submission. So you get it in at that deadline and then you hear back if it's accepted or not. And journals are not like that. You submit it whenever you want. So I think that drives a difference in the styles. And so in some sense, I feel like the computer science articles, there's a little bit of a hurriedness about them that you don't see in some of the other fields that I'm used to. Also, there's a difference in how protective researchers are about their ideas. So my biologist colleagues are much more concerned about not giving hints of their ideas before they've been published. But my physicist colleagues, we pretty much tell people what we're doing. Oh, here's the derivation of what I'm putting in my article. And there's less of a concern about that. Interestingly, I recently served on a thesis committee for an economics grad student, and what really struck me there is they're really interested in it, they really want to see that the student or author, if it's on a paper, has a strong grasp of the background in a way that we in physics and applied mathematics are not as interested. We want to know, okay, well, what's the quality of the contribution of the work in this thesis? Not how well does this student place the thesis in the context of the whole field?
And so, I mean, that, and that's for the author and the reader. What about, or I mean, for the author of the paper that is citing it, what does a citation mean for the author of the original paper?
Ah, this means a lot when it comes time for promotions and things like that. You know, one of the things that we do in academia is look up how many citations we have to our different papers. And so Google Scholar has made this a lot easier than it was years ago. So you can look at your Google Scholar citations and see how many people have cited your paper and then find out what papers are citing your paper and so on. But it's also actually very important when you're a researcher and you're writing a paper and you want to find out what papers to cite, you actually use those citation numbers because it's kind of important for your audience that you actually cite the well-cited work, right? So you want to point people to the highest quality papers in that area, not just to one maybe low-impact paper. So you can use those citation counts as an indicator. And you could say, okay, well, actually, this is some extension work that Duncan Watts did with Matt Salganik. So if you're doing citations, how much is do people cite other papers just because they already have a lot of citations? And how can you gauge how much of it is a quality metric versus the just this additive dynamic where they already have a lot of citations, so they're going to get more? So they did this study not in the context of citations, but in the context of music downloads.
Yeah, I could see it. To me, it at least, I mean, I don't know the research, but in my head, it seems very much like a viral video. The video at first is getting watches because it was very interesting, very good, very engaging. But after a while, it's getting a lot of views because a lot of people viewed it.
Right, exactly. And that happens a lot. And so, you know, that does happen a lot, but in essence, we kind of rely on the fact that that initial population was discerning enough to pick out the good papers for us.
Yeah, I guess the main problem with my analogy there is that a watch is not the same as a site. A watch would be the same as a share. Like,
right.
Yeah, so it's not how many people read it. It's how many people read it and then thought it was good enough to then use it in their own work.
Yeah, I think that's actually very interesting because now the journal publications a lot of times will give you the number of downloads and the number of citations. And so you'll see some papers come out and maybe they have a flashy title and a lot of people download them. And then you see, oh, actually, this is not one of the most cited recent papers. So yes, I think that's a good way to think about it, that citing a paper is giving it a higher level stamp of approval rather than just saying, I want to read it and download it.
Hey, well, thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Thank you very much. This has been a pleasure.